James Kerrigan is a former international director of MUFON, and he is no longer associated with the organization at all. So I guess it needs to be stated up front that James Kerrigan and this interview should not be construed in any way that James is officially talking for MUFON or any element of it. Anyway, James, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Jerry, for having me.
James, you've been making some pretty incredible charges and statements on your blog, and we have a link to that on our page. And we've been linking to almost every new posting you make simply because it's newsworthy. Here at the top of the show is simply to ask you, as a former international director of MUFON, involved with MUFON for several years, what do you think's happening at MUFON, and what do you want to happen?
Well, honestly, Jerry, what I think is happening to MUFON is very unfortunate. Here we have an organization that's been around 40 years, and it's had its ups and downs. But I think the thing that worries me the most about the current organization and its current leadership is the lack of what I would call a moral and ethical compass. When you have an organization like MUFON, which is a nonprofit organization, its duty is to the public, and strictly to the public. In fact, that's how it gets its cooperation, its certification from the IRS, because it offers a public service, and therefore is considered nonprofit and it's not taxed. Fortunately, what I've seen over the last couple of years is that outside interests have come in, and the leadership has steered MUFON's course away from its mission, which is the scientific investigation of UFOs, for the benefit of humanity and to educate the public. Again, we're talking about the public as the primary customer for MUFON. And they've let themselves be influenced and also being controlled by outside forces, namely the Bigelow Aerospace Advance Space Studies Company. I want to talk a little bit about MUFON's relationship here with BAS, because I was one of the original, I would say, the designer of the BAS project and its relationship with MUFON, what we call the STAR Teen Impact Project, or SIP. And I attended all the meetings, the original meetings, with BAS representatives. And it was I who negotiated pretty much single-handedly this contract, which is actually, I should say single-handedly, was a contract that was given to MUFON by BAS. And we gave it to an attorney for modification, and before it was signed. But what I want to get to in terms of this relationship is that this was supposed to be a straightforward purchase agreement, where BAS was purchasing services from MUFON, and MUFON would provide those services for a fixed price. I think you've probably seen this, a copy of the contract that's floating around the Internet.
Yes, I have.
And it basically states, if it's an original contract, I'm not sure, that it is a straightforward purchase agreement for a fixed price per month.
And what are they purchasing, James?
Well, they were purchasing MUFON's investigative services as well as access to MUFON's files, both historical files as well as the ongoing current sighting files. So what we have here is MUFON being subcontracted by a for-profit corporation, which is not unheard of in the nonprofit world. As long as you can legally cover yourself, which MUFON did in two ways. First, by signing a legal contract that stated very specifically the duties it was going to perform for BAS. And secondly, by making sure that any witness data that was provided to BAS from MUFON files was to be kept confidential by BAS, and also the witnesses allowed their data to be released to a third party. So MUFON did cover itself legally from those aspects.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. I got to know, who started this negotiation? Did they come to you, or did MUFON go to them?
Well, it was very interesting how that came about. It turns out that Bigelow approached John Schuessler, one of our board members, And I'm not sure if John was doing some separate consulting work for Bass or not, but the idea came around that MUFON was available for doing services or for doing work for Bigelow if he needed those services. And actually, the way it started was Bigelow contracted MUFON to do some specific studies that he was interested in. And after that small contract was finished, then in January of 2009, he asked MUFON representatives to come to Vegas so they could discuss a bigger contract, which was the one that resulted in the MUFON-Bass relationship. So I'm not sure who approached who, but I know that it was a personal discussion between Robert Bigelow and John Schuessler that initiated the venture.
And were you already the international director, I mean, at that time?
I was. I was international director from 2006 to 2009. And I was one of the representatives that went to Vegas, along with board member Jan Harzan and John Schuessler. And we sat down with Bass representatives, and we ironed out what we thought would be a working relationship. Then I spent the better part of a month after that just going over the contract, the proposed contract, with an attorney, as well as trying to negotiate MUFON's position. This is where I had this one-on-one discussion with Mr. Bigelow that I talked about on my blog, where I specifically was worried about the amounts that were being sent to MUFON each month. And I said, okay, well, at the end of the month, what happens to these monies that are left over that we haven't spent on project expenses? And he said in unequivocal terms, what's MUFON's money? It's a purchase agreement, so it's MUFON's money.
I have multiple sources saying that 5 months after the contract was there, he wanted to cut the amount in half and later even whittle it down further.
Well, there were two renewal periods that were built into the contract. One was June of 2009, one was October of 2009. And the contract, I mean, it basically stated there was one of three possibilities. They could either cut the funding right there, terminate the contract. They could increase the funding, or they could keep the funding at the same level. Well, rather than elect one of the three predetermined choices, when the contract renewal period came around, Mr. Bigelow said, well, you guys are banking too much money, so we want to cut your payments in half. Now, of course, at that point, I as the international director, could have made a call and said, I'm simply going to terminate this contract. It doesn't make sense for MUFON to move forward. But I deferred to the MUFON board of directors. It was discussed at the MUFON board of directors, and they basically stated, well, we're going to keep this relationship going at any price. So whether I had resigned from the position of international director then or later didn't really matter. The MUFON board of directors was dead set on maintaining their relationship with Bass, regardless of the terms. So in other words, they caved into Mr. Bigelow's demands because they saw it as a long-term funding source, and they really did not want to terminate the funding source prematurely if they could help it.
Was this the flashpoint for you? Was it the cause of your resignation?
No, actually, it wasn't at all. Again, I deferred to the board's decision on renewing the contract at a reduced amount, which they did. They cut the funding in half. When October rolled around of the same year, which was the second funding period, we had another problem, because then the proposal was to cut it even further, so to further reduce the monthly amount. And at that time, also, Bass expressed an interest in knowing what MUFON was going to do with any monies that were currently in the bank account, and why we weren't spending those on Bass activities. So they were basically telling us how to spend the money, even though they had no right to do so. It was a straightforward contract with a monthly contract amount, but at that point it already had no legally binding effect, because the MUFON board of directors did not stick to the original contract terms, and they should have terminated the contract back in June. So when October rolled around, at that point, we were trying to renegotiate and say, okay, we'll at least keep the funding level at the same level rather than cut it again. But they said, well, we want a plan for how you're going to spend it, and we're not going to send you any checks until we do so. So basically, they stopped sending MUFON any monies at all in October, but the project was still ongoing, so there were expenses to be kept. and those in order to be paid, and those expenses were paid out of what MUFON had accumulated in the bank. What actually precipitated my resignation was when the contract was up for renewal in January of 2010, and the MUFON board of directors, this was something initiated by Clifford Cliff, international director, Jen Harz, and board member, they decided to enter into secret negotiations with BAS on renewing the contract without notifying me of that. I was still acting director. And the reason they did was because they were trying to scapegoat me and to blame me for why the MUFON-BAS relationship was going sour. When I found out they were in secret communication, I immediately resigned from the MUFON board and from the international director position.
James, I've talked to several state directors and people who were investigating that basically got their feathers ruffled because Bass didn't tell them anything. In fact, nobody told them that they were even there investigating. I mean, wasn't this a bone of contention? Didn't it cause a lot of problems for MUFON and for you?
Well, I think there was some hesitation on the part of some states to have MUFON investigators from outside their state going to investigate. That was the protocol. If a state had a significant event, we would attempt to use investigators in that state to immediately deploy. But if they were not available, then we would bring in MUFON investigators from outside the state. I think probably where feathers got ruffled was more when BAS personnel showed up before MUFON, right, where the witness was contacted. And that brings up, you know, another issue, which is how BAS would get notified of cases. If you go to MUFON's website right now and you click on Report a UFO, it comes up a short form. At the bottom of that short form is an election notice for the witness to say, I'm releasing my data to third parties. Well, once they check that, that case would be immediately available to a BAS investigator who could see it from their computer. So they had immediate notification of the witness, and therefore they could contact the witness first, and often they did, which ruffled the feathers of local MUFON people. And I think that was something we could foresee, and we knew that would be an issue, and it was, but not to any great extent. My concern is that even though the BAS contract is allegedly terminated and over with, and there's no relationship between MUFON and BAS, that third-party notice is still there. So is data still being released to BAS? And I'm not sure that MUFON headquarters adequately answered.
Well, as you know, when Clifford Cliff was on with me, I did ask him that question. And he said that Robert Bigelow was no longer connected in any way with MUFON.
Sure, but keep in mind that Clifford Cliff was also the one who entered into secret communication with BAS while I was still acting director, so I'm not sure I necessarily trust that. Let's be honest here, Jerry. This is not a personal issue of personal revenge against Mr. Robert Bigelow or against Clifford Cliff or anybody for that matter. This is about what's right and what's wrong. This is about an organization that has a reputation to maintain. And unfortunately, the direction that this board is taking MUFON is into uncharted, unethical waters, and they're sinking the organization. And it needs to be corrected if MUFON is going to retain any semblance of respectability, and for it to stay outside the rumor mill of government involvement in conspiracy. And the only way to do that is to have complete transparency and openness, which the international director, Clifford Cliff, has preached in the past, but he has yet to embrace. There are many unanswered questions that I have about how MUFON is currently operating, and there are just as many questions that regular MUFON members have. Those questions have to be answered. You can't do that by getting on a show and skirting around the issue and being in playing the politician. You have to answer directly and unequivocally when you're asked these types of questions. And basically, I think that unless that happens, MUFON will always have this tainted reputation of being the black hole of ufology and even being infiltrated by outside forces.
So, James, let's be clear here. You are saying that there is some government intervention on the board at MUFON?
I absolutely and unequivocally believe and know that there is government intervention.
Well, what can you tell me about that?
Well, I can tell. I mentioned it in my blog article. There is somebody on the MUFON board who is a leaker, who's been leaking information that only the board members should
Well, there is a leak someplace, James. I mean, that contract, the one with Bigelow, it's fairly accurate. It came from somewhere. Somebody leaked it. Somebody in the know. Somebody would have a contract in hand.
Well, the only ones who should have had a copy of that contract were those who signed the nondisclosure agreement with BASS, which would be MUFON board members plus a couple of additional MUFON
So
members.
You unequivocally believe that there's a government agent, a black op, a mole at MUFON.
Now, before we could even fly out to Vegas and talk with BASS, everyone had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. I'm not sure who leaked the contract, but I can tell you that emails that were only intended for MUFON, for the board members themselves, were leaked. I know because it's kind of funny the way this happened. Once I resigned from the board, all communication from the board to me ceased. Until at one point I had sent the board an email regarding a legal matter. And what happened was one of the board members reply all to the email. And so the response came back to me instead of to, and he thought he was only sending it to the other board members. Well, then pretty soon everybody was doing reply alls, and I'm getting everybody's responses going back and forth. And this is where I found out that I was being accused of hijacking computers when we're simply doing a standard reply all to emails, and I was getting a copy of their response. When I replied back, I put a specific title on my subject line and then found out that this was leaked to a third party. So I know specifically that my email went from the board out to a third party through a leak. So there is a leaker on the board. And I know.
Now, the MUFON board, they're all over the place, right? I mean, they're just not people who live in Colorado.
Absolutely. They're scattered around the U.S. There's a board member of California. There's a couple in Texas, which was, you know, on your show when you asked Clifford Cliff, does anyone have a security clearance at headquarters? Well, his response was accurate because the board members don't reside at headquarters. They're scattered around the U.S., so which is why I still have the open question whether or not John Schuessler was granted a security clearance as part of his relationship with BASS.
Well, next time I'll be a little more focused. I'm sorry I missed that. Why is it important about Schuessler and his security clearance? I mean, how could BASS or somebody in his company, Bigelow in his company, how could they and why would they be able to get him a security
That's
clearance?
That's a good question. I don't know. What influence does BASS have or what? Why would John Schuessler, as part of his work with BASS, require a security clearance? That's the question
it's,
I want
It's no secret that for a long time now, a lot of people have been mumbling behind MUFON's back that they're secret agented up. In other words, they have influences from the U.S. government, from different alphabet agencies. In fact, I've asked you yourself, on the air and off the record as well, if you are an agent of some sort. Now, I know you were in the Army Security Agency. Weren't you an interpreter, a Russian language person?
Back from 1983.
A long time ago.
Yeah, 1983 to 1987, I did a four-year stint in the Army as an intelligence analyst, Russian linguist. So basically, I sat in a listening post listening to the Russian.
I mean, it's no secret. We've talked about that on the air. There's an interview on this website, jerrypippin.com, in which you talk about
that. Sure, absolutely. And the bottom line is that within ufology, you're going to find people from all walks of life. There are many people that are in UFO circles that have prior military backgrounds, prior government work, that have had security clearances in their life. That doesn't necessarily make them a government agent. If you were to get on my blog and read about the article I wrote about Men in Black and how it's just basically par for the course that if you're going to reach the upper echelons of ufology, you're going to be labeled a government agent, regardless if you are or not. If you Google 100 Men in Black on the Internet, you'll find that every international director at MUFON was labeled a man in black. So the bottom line is, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. I'm a truth seeker. I've always sought after the truth. I have been as ethical as I possibly can be. And I can't see anyone out there who wants to believe me an agent if they look at my work and see what I've really been doing, really seeing me as a disinformation agent or any agent of that sort. My concern is simply for the truth.
Maybe you can help me clear something up. I'm just not clear on it yet. What you're after, James, I read your blogs, and I get the feeling you want a good MUFON.
Well, as I said earlier in the show here, Jerry, there is a good MUFON. The problem is there's bad leadership. And these leaders who believe that third-party interests, when they allow third-party interests in, it's interesting to note that when MUFON and Bass established their relationship, Bass specifically stated they didn't want to be portrayed or seen as managing MUFON, when in the end, that's exactly what they did. They managed the contract, they managed the purse strings, and they influenced and manipulated the MUFON board into getting what they wanted. So outside forces haven't managed MUFON, and my concern is that they're still actively managing MUFON. MUFON should be an independent organization. It should be above reproach. It should have the highest level of ethics and morals. It should be working on behalf of the public, not behalf of a third-party for-profit corporation. And so my interest is getting MUFON back on the right track. It's not about sinking the organization. It's not about bringing it down. It's not even about terminating this MUFON board and replacing it. I think that there are probably some good people still left on the board. But it is about righting the ship and getting things back.
So how does one get on the MUFON board?
How do you get on the MUFON board? Well, you have to.
You mean when there's a vacancy, the membership votes on it, or what?
No, the membership doesn't elect. It's done by the MUFON board itself.
So the current board members just pick somebody? Is that the way it works?
When I got on the board, there was a vacancy, and I happened to be working closely at MUFON headquarters on a project called the Pandora Project, and so I was asked to join the board, which I did, and was elected in. And that's how I got on. And if there was a vacancy, or if there is a future vacancy, it's basically the MUFON board members themselves recommend a replacement, and then there's an election process done by the board itself.
How would you like to see the board ran? I mean, the whole organization. Is it okay with you that the board chooses the other board members and the membership has nothing to do with it? Or would you change
it? Well, it's a good question because it's a nonprofit organization, so it's not even directly beholden to its own membership. The clientele of MUFON is the general public, so it's not really a democratically run organization, nor is it required to be. Should the membership have a say in MUFON MUFON leadership? It's a possibility. I mean, I don't see why not, especially if the board is going to continue to elect those who follow its standard line, and this board definitely needs to have its line.
Asking any group to correct themselves might be a little difficult. I mean, what are you after, James? You want them all to resign?
No, not at all. I think what needs to happen here is that the board needs to draft a statement of ethics, and also that it needs to make a public statement about how it's going to deal with outside influence and with third parties and who it owes its allegiance to. There are things that can be done self-correcting by the board itself, but from the way I've seen, the way that what's happened here over the last year is that the board has sort of become a closed circle. Where they only hear their own advice, and the international director has taken a very authoritarian stance on any dissent. I don't think that these state directors that were recently fired, that it all had to do with management style or ethics. I believe that what's happened is you're seeing a closing of the ranks where those who support this international director are embraced, and those that have any voice of dissent are being let go. Or fired, and whatever excuse needs to be made up to let them go, it's being generated.
So you're saying it's all a move to just cement the power at the top the way it is now? Well, I've never seen anything go public like this before. When you were the international director, James Carrion, did you ever let anybody go?
Well, sure. There were some voices of dissent after I let some state directors go. There was one state director that took his state membership and formed another organization. But you got to keep in mind that there are valid reasons for terminating volunteer positions. One of them is that the volunteer isn't really volunteering. But in the case of some of these state directors that were recently let go, especially with Leslie Barnacle from Colorado, who was a 40-year MUFON member and just an outstanding state director, she was the one who not only increased Colorado's membership, but she also successfully ran the symposiums. I think it was four or five different symposiums in the state of Colorado over a number of years. And so MUFON owes her a tremendous debt for the work she's done. And so the fact that she was let go and for management style issues just doesn't wash for me at all. I'd like to make a public statement about Leslie and why I think she was let go.
Go ahead.
Earlier this year at the MUFON Symposium, MUFON has a state director's meeting every year at the symposium. At the state director's meeting, Leslie recorded the state director's meeting on audio, and that recording came to me. And that audio recording is what I actually am probably going to use as the basis of a libel suit against MUFON, because things were said in that meeting that were untrue about me. And so this is one of the reasons why I think Leslie was let go, because I believe that Clifford Cliff believes that Leslie was the one who released the audio. So, and I think that using the management style or the lack of management was just an excuse for letting her go.
So this libel suit, is it about what they said at that board meeting or a whole lot of things, other things?
For many things they said about me. Not just that.
We have another half hour to go with James Carrion, former international director at MUFON. This is a tell-all session. James, before we end this first half hour, did you ever let any volunteers go, state directors?
Sure, absolutely. There were state directors that were let go because they simply didn't do their job. They liked the position. They loved their position. They loved their title, but they weren't willing to do the work. So there were some of those state directors that were let go.
James Carrion, I do appreciate you coming on. We still have about a half hour to go. You brought up the legal angle. I want to ask you something about something I've heard. I heard you had to get a lawyer to collect the reimbursement for the money you spent on the San Jose MUFON convention. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, here's the problem, Jerry. What happened at the symposium in San Jose is there was a shortfall, and MUFON lost money that year. So I basically put up my own funds to cover the shortfall. And I didn't really ask MUFON to pay me back right away. I figured they would eventually pay me back. At the one of our board meetings, the board members said, well, you know what, we have this MUFON BASS project going. We're getting this money coming in from BASS. Why don't you just reimburse yourself from those funds, which was a misuse of BASS funds. So here we have the same board members who were scapegoating me for why they thought the MUFON BASS relationship went sour, and they were telling BASS that they didn't provide proper oversight of how I managed the project. These were the folks that were directing me to misuse funds. The hypocrisy is astounding. So what happened was, after I resigned from MUFON, of course I said, well, hey guys, you still owe me $14,000. I'd like that back. Actually, it came out to be about $12,000 because I already reimbursed myself for two of those while I was MUFON director. And rather than say, okay, well, thank you for lending us the money and writing me a check, they decided to write me an email that said, we don't think that this is a valid charge, and you have to show proof. And we also think that because of these other circumstances surrounding your resignation, we don't really owe you this money. Well, that really set me off, and you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But I just went to my attorney and said, listen, send them a demand letter, and let's be done with it, and that's exactly what happened.
And they paid it.
And they paid it. Plus attorney fees.
I'm curious about the terms of the contract here. Are you saying that the money they gave MUFON, you gave back to them for their expenses when they did this fast-track investigation?
No, keep in mind that the money that MUFON received from BASS was spent on the project. Every dollar was spent on the project. The problem was it only went to project expenses, and any money that was left over, that should have been MUFON's money.
I don't know, $300,000 or more sounds like a lot of money to me. Where did it all go?
Okay, so let me explain. So the way those funds were spent were on salaries for the people managing the project. They were spent on fees paid to investigators to go out and investigate. They were spent on plane tickets, on reimbursement for travel, for hotel, for equipment that was needed on site. So that money, whatever the amount, total amount was, every dollar of it went to the project.
Okay, let's make this crystal clear. You don't think anybody just put some of this money in their pocket?
No. None of the funds were embezzled. None of them were mismanaged or misused. And, in fact, I was authorized to draw a personal salary from it of roughly, I don't know, I think it was like $3,000 a month. What I did was I didn't take the salary. I donated it back to the organization instead.
How expensive is it to run MUFON? I mean, you have a lot of volunteers, but you do have paid staff, right?
There's paid staff. There's there's a lot of correspondence that goes in and out of the organization. There's the management of the membership. There's the creation and publication of the MUFON Journal. There's expenses for online services from the website. There's expenses for telephone. So like any organization, there's going to be managerial and operational expenses. And basically MUFON is able to stay in the black, but barely in the black, just based on the membership fees and the merchandise it sells. So there is no real money left over for doing what MUFON's primary mission is, which is the actual scientific investigation part of it. So there is no money for research scientists or for research projects. It pretty much just covers operations.
James, it's taken you a little while to come forward here from the time the events happened. Why did you come forward? Why did you go public?
Keep in mind that when I resigned, it was sort of a shock to me that the board had turned on me so readily and so easily. And, you know, I thought at the time, you know what, if this organization has changed character and is performing unethically, I'm going to wait. I'm going to bide my time. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot more than once. And over the last year, we've seen that with these state directors being fired. We see this with continued rumors of information flowing to BASS. And my feeling is that now is the time, the opportune time, for the MUFON membership to see what its board is really up to. And it's not just James Carrion saying this. It's saying it's a bunch of ex-state directors who were productive state directors and who were pushed out because they were seen as voices of dissent to an organization that wants to close ranks and manage its image more than its mission.
Are you suggesting that maybe you should come back to MUFON?
Absolutely not.
Okay. You're not trying to get the job back?
Absolutely not. I'm a MUFON benefactor. I'm a lifetime member. I'll be getting my MUFON journal unless they unethically take that away from me. There's some rumors they've done that to other benefactors. And I support the organization that I will never resume the leadership of that organization or desire any leadership position in the
organization.
Seems
there's quite a group here that's disenchanted with MUFON, but what can you guys really do? I mean, you already said it's not a democracy.
Well, that's the problem. They simply can't do anything. As long as the board maintains its control and doesn't allow for a democratic process and closes its ranks, it's more than likely that change won't be forthcoming. But I think that when, as word is starting to get out about the state director's firings, my blog talks about the unethical behavior of the board, that where MUFON is going to see a backlash is on how the public perceives it, or even how the IRS perceives it. Imagine the IRS looking into MUFON's financial records and saying, wait a minute, folks, why are you, you don't seem to be actually performing your mission towards the public, so why should we allow you to keep your charitable status? So something's going to bite MUFON in the ass, and pardon my French there.
No,
because,
that's fine.
The bottom line is you cannot run an organization under such unethical behavior and survive for long. So whether change comes from within or from without.
James, it seems to me that MUFON's in danger of being NICAP'd. By that, I mean, you know what happened to NICAP. Had all this innuendo about government agents and everything like that. I mean, they finally had to shut the doors in 1980. Same thing could happen to MUFON.
Well, it's definitely a possibility. It's why in my blog article when I talked about how to take down a UFO organization, if there are outside forces that wish that to happen, those outside forces will probably be...
On your blogs, James, you have indicated that... You even named the U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations one time. I mean, you're indicating that there's some government intervention here causing havoc.
Well, there's...
To obfuscate everything. You have any proof of that?
No, I have no... I definitely have no
proof. I hate it when people ask me that.
Yeah, I definitely have no concrete proof other than the patterns of activity I've seen while I was in the organization. You have to ask yourself, why is it that their money flows to a UFO organization from an outside party? Normally, what we've seen in terms of outside influence is when it comes to these intelligence agencies, they have a desire to control. And if they can control, they will. If they can't control, then they'll terminate. So the question is whether or not MUFON is currently being controlled or not. If it's controlled, it may survive because these outside agencies wish to maintain that control. But if there's if it operates within the constraints that the organization or the intelligence agencies would like it to operate within, it may survive. But if it can't control MUFON and it operates outside of its own box, then we will see efforts for it to be terminated the same way NICAP was.
Well, I mean, if MUFON shut down, what would replace it? What would replace MUFON?
To be honest, I don't think anything will really replace MUFON.
Well, I mean, I've heard talk, that maybe it's time for MUFON to go.
Well, I can tell you that in the Internet age, what may replace MUFON is the Internet, which in itself is a very scary proposition because the Internet itself and all of these message boards like the Open Minds Forum or Above Top Secret or UFO Casebook are just mindless, or I should say faceless, anonymous people that are managing the UFO message, which means that without real people with real resumes in a real organization, if MUFON goes away and it's replaced by information flowing on the Internet, then the waters of ufology have become that much muddier.
Well, I can't disagree with that statement, but let's get back to Bigelow for a minute. Do you think he's using government money? I mean, or he paid you a lot of money. MUFON, I mean, where'd that money come from? I mean, I know he's got money.
I can't tell you what the source is because I don't know the source.
Uh-huh.
I do know that I was told that did not come from Bigelow's funds. There were third party sponsors that put up the money, and the board members, MUFON board members, with the exception of John Schuessler, were not told who those sponsors were. So who the source is, I can tell you that in the meeting I had with Bigelow before we signed the project deal, is I specifically asked him if there was government money behind it. And
by all accounts, James, your relationship with Bigelow deteriorated for whatever reasons, and you've discussed some of them tonight. In other words, are you pure of heart with MUFON, or are you just not like the man?
No, I have no problem with Mr. Bigelow personally.
See, we hear rumors, and I just want to get that out to the audience. Okay, it's glad to hear that.
Absolutely not. I do distrust the intentions of his organization, BASS. And the reason I distrust the BASS organization is because of its predecessor, NIDS, and its relationship to that ranch in Utah that Mr. Bigelow owns.
Now, to get this interview, I agreed not to address that because you have it in a blog, which we have a link to, by the way. You just published it today. But you discuss a lot about the Skinwalker Ranch, and basically you don't believe much of it. Well, you know, you have that non-disclosure clause, but personally, I think that's null and void, so I think you could talk about it.
Well, that's for an attorney to interpret. I'm working off of my conscience right now.
And your conscience wants to do what about MUFON?
I don't want the board to leave. I want the board to live up to its responsibility and to who its primary customers are, which is the general public.
Time will tell what's next for MUFON. What's next for James Carrium? What's happening with you?
Well, next for me is I still have a computer training company that I run that keeps me primarily busy. On the UFO scene, I'm doing personal research. I have an organization I started called the Center for UFO Truth. It's based on some original research I did, and I presented at the MUFON Symposium and at the Crash Retrieval Conference. And it focuses on the early days of UFOs. During the two-month period in 1947 where we have Roswell and Maury Island and Kenneth Arnold, my belief is that those three events are related, that they're not UFO-related, that there was some grand deception operation that was in place that had to do with the Cold War that triggered those three events. And my aim is to prove
James,
that.
Before you go, I have to ask you a direct question. When you were international director or just at MUFON, at the headquarters, were you ever approached by any member of any of the alphabet agencies of the United States government to try to buy influence or influence you in any way?
I was never approached by anyone supposedly in the know, but I think there's a reason for that, and that's because I made it very public that I was not going to deal with so-called insiders who claim to have inside knowledge of the UFO phenomena, because that game has been played by way too many ufologists who have been discredited, from Bill Moore to even some of the folks currently in ufology, like Linda Moulton Howe, and even some of the stories I've heard from John Schussler. If you play that game, you bite on that carrot. You'll end up with no information.
Now, before you leave, I just want to make sure I have this right and how James Carrion is thinking. You think the MUFON board and the people at the top of MUFON at this time probably are fairly honorable, but they're just not responsible to the public? Is that right?
The problem is that they take a blind eye to the truth. And as you'll see on my board, my blog tomorrow, how they took a blind eye to the truth or to the possibility that they're being controlled and managed. Their belief in the subject blinds them to what their mission statement truly is, which is should be scientific investigation. It should not be about their own personal beliefs. It should not be what they think is happening. It should be based on rigorous science. It should be based on skeptical outlook. And it should be based on evidentiary standards, none of which is present currently in the organization. I do want to make a final statement, and that is, again, I'm not trying to bring MUFON down. I would like to see it survive, but I would like it to see it survive and perform its mission, which it's not currently. There are a lot of good people in MUFON who are hardworking, they're volunteers, they give of their own time and of their own money, and those folks deserve better from their leadership. And MUFON members deserve more from their leadership, and the public at large deserves more from the foundation.
James, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.